Hey, this is Dave V, and I've got my special guest here, Michael Rosbrook. Hey, Michael, how you doing?
Hey, Dave. Good to be on with you today.
Yeah, I'm really, really excited because we're calling this Anatomy of a $420,000 Payday, because, Michael, that's actually what you did with your own online event, and it was your first, that was your first online event right out of the gate.
It was the second online event. The first one I did 2 years prior, and I didn't know what the heck I was doing, but I did manage six figures on that one too, low six figures, but it was a whole different ball game.
Yeah. Awesome. So what we're going to be talking about here now, in full disclosure, I actually helped Michael with this. So this is not something that he did on his own, but he did a lot of it on his own, and he just did a magnificent job with this. So I just want, Michael, if you could just talk a little bit about your background. Okay. And, you know, where you came from, because it's really important, because one of the first things that I teach people is when they're doing this is to make sure that you're the real deal, that you can actually deliver the results that you're saying. So talk a little bit about your background and how you got into the info marketing part of this.
Right. So I'm a CPA by education. And about 18 years ago, I was let go from a corporate job. And every year I send them a thank you card. They should have let go of me a lot earlier. But at that point, I made a decision to get into the tax resolution business, which is representing clients before the IRS who couldn't take out their checkbook, write a check in full, and pay the IRS off what they owed. So I helped negotiate deals, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, I started from nothing, from scratch, no clients, very little tax experience as well. But one thing I did have going for me was Dan Kennedy style marketing. I mean, I've been a Dan Kennedy fan for a long time. And I grew that to a large firm. We were one of the largest IRS representation firms in the country. And I grew that from zero to $23 million in sales in 2011 alone. I added up all the sales during those 16 years, and it was about $117 million over those 16 years representing clients before the IRS.
Wow. Wow. And so what's really cool about that is the program that you actually put together to sell. And I want to get a little bit into that in just a little bit, but the major point is here, if you're going to do an online event, be the real deal, exactly. Right? Have proof. One of the things that we added to your presentation, which I think was dramatic, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, my 1120S income tax return for that year, 2011, that showed $22.6 million in gross sales. And since I was a cash basis taxpayer, those were deposits in the bank. So yeah, right. We showed that.
And what was really cool about that was we showed that, and there were people who actually ordered Michael's product. I'm sold, right? Yeah. And that's at the very beginning. So one of the other things that you want to have when you're doing this is have actual proof of that you can deliver the results, because again, that goes a really long way. Now, you don't need a testimonial or proof like that, but you want to have some kind of proof. But really, one of the main reasons, we're going to go over all of them, that Michael just knocked it out of the park on this thing, was that he was the real deal. He was offering something that was proven and something that works. Now, so let's go through the launch process. Let's talk about, I've got my notes here because I want to make sure I get all of these questions in. Let's talk about where everybody should start, Michael, which is with the offer. All right. So talk about how you went about developing the offer, because, you know, we work backwards when we do these things. Most people, if they think about it, they create their presentation at the beginning and they go this way. But you started with what your core offer was. How did you decide on what your core offer was going to be, and why did you decide that?
Well, doing this, you know, for 16 years and talking to actual practitioners over the last 2.5 years, I realized that most accountants, CPAs, and enrolled agents don't like marketing. They hate it, and they certainly don't like the word sales. They think it's sleazy. So I know most of them don't even answer their phones live. I mean, they'll spend money on marketing and not answer their phones live. So I developed a program that, hey, look, I'm just a street kid from Brooklyn with an average IQ. And if I could figure this out, a lot of other people could figure this out. So I did it like old school, if you will. I mean, here's how you do the marketing. And by the way, when the phone rings, here's what you got to say to the client to screen them. And by the way, here's how you set up the appointment. Here's how you make sure they show up. Here's what you say to them when they're in front of you to close the deal, get retained. And when, by the way, here's how you collect your fee in advance before the case settles. So I developed those five things into four modules. So it was and one of the things that was really cool, my wife, Rosalind, who's also my business partner, she took what I taught during these last 2.5 years and productized it. In other words, I do a webinar, we'd have it transcribed, then we'd send it off to the editor and have a chapter. And that was the product, because I'm a lot better. I can't write. I mean, I'm not going to sit there and write out stuff. That's not me. But I talk a lot better, I think, than I write. So I know I'm getting off track here because I'm starting to get worked up and passionate about this thing. So one of the things we knew that is they don't know what to charge for tax resolution services. So on your advice, because that was part of the core product, we took that out and made that a bonus. So we figured that in this offer, we wanted to make the bonuses actually more valuable in a way than the actual product, because some people bought the product because they wanted the bonus. And that was only one of many bonuses. And then the fast action bonuses to get people to buy right then and there was brilliant. And we had some really cool fast action bonuses. So we started with the end in mind, Dave, on your advice, and we reverse engineered the entire process. So we did the order form first before we actually had the product and the bonuses we were going to sell physically. We put it on paper what we wanted to make, what we wanted the offer to be, and we worked backwards.
Yeah. So Michael just gave like a ton of information there in a short period of time, which he often does. So let me just dissect a little bit, because it's really, really powerful. Number one, he figured out what people in who he was selling to, his prospects, actually wanted, right? What they wanted, right? So he didn't guess, he knew what they wanted. And then he created a product around that. A big mistake that people make is that they try to come up with what they think people want and not really figuring out what their prospect wants. And by the way, we're talking about an information product here, but it can be any product, any service. It's the same. So he found out what they wanted and also what they needed, but he sold them what they wanted. The other thing that he talked about was bonuses. You have to offer bonuses. And then he quickly mentioned that there's two kinds of bonuses. One is core bonuses, and those are bonuses that come with the package whenever somebody buys it.
Right.
And then you have, as he mentioned, fast action bonuses, which get people to act immediately. Then the third thing is the order form. He did that first, because how do you build a presentation if you don't know what you're selling? The entire presentation is designed to sell something. And so that is exactly what he did. And now he knew, okay, here are all the pieces, here are all the components. And then now I can now build a presentation to sell this package. And Michael, then you used that exact order form to get people to order online.
Oh yeah. I mean, that $420,000 launch we had, it was all online. It was them clicking a link online and going to the order form, which also, Dave, as you helped me with, resold them. Wow. After the presentation and everything else, the order form was like a sales letter.
What a great point. Yeah.
And
yeah, that's a brilliant point. It follows a very specific template. And most people mess this up all the time. They assume because somebody's going to click the add to cart button that they're going to buy. And that's not the case. I call it an order form on steroids, mm-hmm. because as Michael said, it's like a mini sales letter, which re-excites them, gets them excited again about buying the product. Now, Michael, when you were putting together the presentations, you followed my template,
my
sales template to a T. How did that help you?
Oh man, I mean the presentation. You remember when we had that day together? I was having trouble with the transitions. That's my biggest problem, was transitioning from slide to slide, or from, you know, topic to topic. So having the transitions in made it so much easier. And all the transitions really were building expectation. I don't know if expectations is the right word, but you know, it's like a TV show, you know, before the commercial, you know, stay tuned because we're going to have so-and-so on, or they're going to reveal this. And that's kind of how the transitions were built. And I, you know, the presentation I had the content in the presentation, but it wasn't organized according to the order form. So we went back and organized the PowerPoint slides and the transitions according to the order form and the psychic sales present outline.
Yeah. So again, he's just giving you gems here. I mean, he's literally giving you gems. And some of them are advanced steps, like transitions. So what people, let me explain what that means. When you move from, there's different pieces of your presentation. And if when you move from one piece of your presentation to another, it's got to be smooth. And where most people screw it up, and Michael, you did it brilliantly, obviously, which was moving from the quote teaching portion of your presentation into the close. Yes. And from every piece to another piece, you need to have a transitional statement so it flows smoothly. Yes. What most people do is it's jerky and it's not good. So that's what he's talking about when he's talking about doing transitional statements. And by the way, that's a really advanced strategy. And Michael, you're not the only one. Almost everyone, that's one of the things that makes a big difference between someone who's a pro at doing it like you mm-hmm. and someone who is not. I mean, it just, those little tiny things,
yes.
phrases make a huge, huge difference. Now, you also did this presentation, I mean, basically live as well before we got to this. So talk a little bit about that. It's the same basic thing, but talk about it.
Yeah, so, you know, I practiced a lot of the presentation, you know, by myself or, you know, in front of Roslyn a couple times. But I also had an opportunity a week before the live cast to go to an audience of CPAs and EAs, my audience, and do a live presentation of the presentation. And it kicked butt. I mean, there weren't that many people in the room. There were like 35 people in the room, but they were all buyers because it was an optional presentation. So I knew if people are coming in for an optional presentation, they're interested. And I sold like 35% of them, even though it was a small number, but it proved to me that the presentation worked.
Right. Which brings up another super important teaching point here is, you have to practice this.
Oh, stuff. Yeah.
You have to practice it and rehearse it. I know there's a lot of people that sell courses and they say, oh yeah, you just follow my thing and you can just go do it. Well, that's BS. So Michael, another reason for his success is that he was diligent about practicing, rehearsing the presentation. So when it was showtime, he was ready to go. It's no different than a theater production, right? I mean, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
Same thing as a theater production. So, okay. So now let's talk about getting people to actually register for your event, because it doesn't matter how good your presentation is if nobody shows up. Talk about the different things that you did to get people to register, because you did multiple things.
Right. So some of the things we did was Facebook, and we can talk about more of that, but that turned out really, really well. We did a direct mail campaign to our list. We emailed our list, but the real big thing that why it was so successful and so many people on is, you know, a lot of people in this industry call them affiliate partners. I like to call them strategic partnerships because that's really more what it is. So I had about 8 people that I knew who knew me and we kind of grew up in the industry together, promote my emails on my behalf to their list, getting folks from their list to register for the online event. And that was huge. I think we had, 3,000 opt-ins altogether. I'd say about 1,200 or so, 1,300 came from my list, and the rest came from everybody else's list.
Right. And what's beautiful about that is I think a lot of people, I love how you have strategic partners as opposed to affiliates, because that's what they were. I think a lot of people, when they think about this, if they're in this information marketing space, and again, doesn't matter what you're selling, we're just using this as an example, but a lot of people think, well, I need hundreds of affiliates, right? But you picked strategic partners, you really worked with them, right? And provided them everything that they needed in order to promote. And these were people who that knew you were the real deal, knew that you could deliver, and were happy to promote to their list.
Yeah, not only that, but an important part that we're not talking about is relationships, is the human relationship with your strategic partners. Because as you know, Dave, people want to do business with people they know, like, and trust at any level. So I had personal, I met with even the strategic partners I didn't have a long relationship with. I spoke to them in person. You know, we talked face to face. It's not like calling somebody up cold who has my same audience and say, hey, do you want to promote me? It's not going to work.
Right, right. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So let's move on to another advanced strategy that, again, you did so well. And this is where a lot of people mess this up. Okay, so even if you got strategic partners, people are opting in, registering for your live online event. But then the second piece of this puzzle is actually getting them to show up to the online, yeah. Right? So what most people assume is, oh, look, and I've got 3,000 people or 2,000 or 1,000. They're going to all show up. They don't. So after somebody registered, right, you did a series of training videos. Talk a little bit about that, the short videos that you did and the psychology behind those.
Yeah, I think that was huge because, you know, we had two campaigns. One was, I'll call, the invite campaign. And then the other one was the live cast show up campaign, if you will. So as soon as somebody registered, they came out of the invite campaign, went into the show up campaign. And in the show up campaign, we had four micro training videos of about 3 minutes in length that reminded them to show up and block the time and all of that. And I gave them snippets of what to expect on the live cast. So I didn't, you know, give away the farm. I gave, you know, if there were four things that you need to know, we don't have time to go through all four, but one of them is, and by the way, we're going to go deep into the other three on whatever the date was. And we did that for four videos that play that I think they got delivered over a week or 10 days time, something like that.
Yeah. I mean, again, a really, really great strategy. So that's something you want to write down. After somebody opts in, you want to have a series of, they're like, I call them micro trainings, right? Micro training videos, which to the people who have registered for the event, you drive them to them, and it does exactly what Michael said. Well, let's talk about one of the coolest things. And again, it's an advanced strategy.
Yes. I think I know where you're going to go.
You know where I'm going, right? Somebody opts in, and that's all they do. And we say, thank you. Or is that not what we did, Michael?
No, and this was your, I mean, Dave, over the, you know, I know you, I don't know you for a long time, but I know you for about 2.5 years. I got to say this, everything you've told me, even during a 5-minute cocktail conversation at a peak performers meeting 2 years ago, everything you've told me are gems that have made me a lot of money. So I just want to let folks know that you're the real deal when it comes to this. But one of the things that you taught me was, let's put an immediate upsell on as soon as they register. So in other words, the minute they opted in, and within 30 seconds, they got a video of me with a mini sales page selling a product that complemented my main product, but didn't compete with it. And that was huge, huge. We sold, it was a $200 product upsell after they registered, and we sold it for, I mean, $200, we sold 140 of them. So we were ahead of the game. You know, we already had 28K in the bank before the live cast. I mean, what? I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, it is. It's awesome. And here's what's so exciting about this is that not only did he have the money in the bank, right, which is huge, right? I mean, 28K in the bank before he actually did the live cast. Yeah. But here's what's exciting about it is that now you have someone who has bought, who is actually more committed now,
yes,
to showing up for your event. And here's what's really exciting. Now you're putting buyers on your event. And we know that a buyer is a buyer is a, yeah, buyer. So the more buyers we can have on, the better, yes, our sales. So just, it works out just so,
and,
so
and
well.
And I think we did, I think we looked at the numbers. I think of the 140 people who bought the upsell, I think it was 65 to 70% of them bought the $1,500 product on the livecast.
Which is huge, which is an unbelievable number. Just so you got to comprehend what he just said. And that doesn't happen. So a lot, it seems almost counterintuitive. Wait a minute, I'm selling them a $200 thing beforehand. That means that's going to hurt my sales. That's what most people think. It's the opposite of that.
It's the opposite.
It helps your sales. All right. So next question for you. So let's move on to the actual event, the day of the event. And so tell us how you were feeling before, you know, that day.
Well, you know, I was out of my mind, a little nervous. The adrenaline was pumping. And you put me at ease. If you remember, the friggin' clicker didn't work on the computer they had set up. Now, this livecast was going off at noon. And at 5 to noon, we were still trying to figure out this clicker situation. And I'm just looking upstairs and going, come on, God, now's the time. I need you to come. But we got it figured out. But yeah, I was pumped. I was ready. I had more adrenaline pumping through me than I was nervous. I was, of course, nervous, but we did a dry run. You know, the day before you and I did a dry run. We did like a 5-minute dry run before the actual event. And you know, it's much easier. See, for me, it's much easier talking to a group of people live than it is talking to a camera, because, you know, I'm up on the stage and I'm just looking at a black box. But evidently I did okay.
Yeah. You did okay. So your adrenaline was going, obviously you were nervous. There were some technical problems, but we're taken care of, like, yes. Right. Like, yes. Like literally a minute, by the way, that's what happens. Not a big deal. And then though, so I introduce you, I was the host of the event, right? So yes. I introduced you and you were nervous, but then talk about how you felt once you got started.
Yeah. Once I got started, once I got the first few sentences out, I started to settle in. And, you know, I didn't read my slides. I did not read my slides, even though there was a teleprompter there. I kind of knew, since I practiced a lot, I kind of knew what the next slide was going to be. I knew where I was. And that was, I mean, that was great. It was my PowerPoint presentation. We gave a lot of content. We gave a lot of content in that presentation. But there was a great close as well. And that was just the first segment. So the first segment was my presentation.
Right. Absolutely. And so let's talk about that. So we do the first segment.
Yes. So I got a story.
Okay.
I got a story about that. And I think it has to do with you and Mike and Hugo, because I think I had my marketing guy there. So after the first segment, after I pitched and closed, I think the sales figure was only 4. And then I think Hugo hit the refresh button and it went from 4 to 137 with that touch of a button. And I think everybody in the control room was thinking, wait a second, is this right? And it was.
Yeah, I was. So how did you feel? I mean, I remember how I felt. I mean, I was freaking pumped. I mean, yeah. I was so, how did you feel? I mean,
well, I felt like unbelievable, because it took a lot of pressure off me for segment number 2 and 3. I was much more relaxed. As a matter of fact, you thought I was falling asleep in segment number 3 on the couch. But it was an amazing feeling. I mean, you know, look, you know, I've dabbled with some mind altering substances in my day, and this was better than any drug I ever did. I mean, it was good.
Yeah. I mean, it was great for me too, Michael. I mean, it was just, really, really a thrill. So when the dust cleared, you had done $420,000 in sales, which was incredible. But really, honestly, that's only, part of the story.
Yes.
Because you have what is called continuity on it. And so for people who don't know what understand continuity is, it's Michael has a membership program in addition to his product. So he gave a free trial membership to folks. And so what did that actually result in additional sales into the 420? If you just extrapolate it out with the people who are not going to continue and all of that.
Right. So we sold about 270 to 300 people on the live cast about to this. And that was in June. And to now it's the end of September, beginning of October. Nearly 50% of them are in the membership. 50% of them are paying $300 a month. So the lifetime value of these folks, I mean, look, this launch rebooted my entire company. I mean, it just took us to the next level. So altogether, this launch probably could be worth close to $1 million at the end of the day because of the continuity portion, which is another thing I think I got from you was the continuity.
Right, let's add it.
Yeah, and you know what? And we're going to be revamping that because we really haven't changed the membership program too much since the get-go, which was over 2 years ago. So we're looking at changing that up a little bit. But yeah, this definitely in the information marketing business, and I'm a newbie at it, but I think it's the fastest. I was going to say easiest. It takes work. Don't get me wrong. It takes a lot of work and practice, but it is definitely the quickest way to reboot your company or get a company launched, especially if you have other folks who have lists at the beginning and you don't have one.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So what would you tell somebody who was interested in doing this, interested in doing an online event like this?
What I would say is this. I think the thing that holds most people back is fear, which is false expectations appearing real. So for me, the way I define fear is a mile high, a mile long, and paper thin. And all you got to do is poke a hole through it. So, you know, for me, my growth has come personally and professionally from getting out of my comfort zone. And I got out of my comfort zone to do this. And what I would say is if somebody has a proven product or is in a professional practice or anything that you, first of all, you have proven it yourself and other people have used it and also are ambassadors of it and it works. And now you want to convert that or you know, put that into an information product, then this is the perfect way to do it.
Right. Yeah. Well, Michael, you gave so much great information, so much insight. I just really appreciate you. I appreciate you coming out and sharing with. And everybody, if you're watching this, make sure if you want to learn the details, like step by step by step, how we do this, make sure that you come on the training that we're going to be doing, where we're really going to show you really from soup to nuts, going over in a lot more detail what we did here. Make sure you come to that training. You show up. For it, because you don't want to miss it. Make sure you're ready to take a lot of notes. So, Michael, man, thank you so much.
Dave, my pleasure. Thank you, man. You are the man when it comes to this type of stuff. You are the man.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thanks.